of A Child of the King. 365, please.
My father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full, he has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King.
Please remain standing for prayer.
Good morning. Welcome to Mount Zion Sunday School Hour. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time we can come together, Lord, and hear from your word. We just thank you for all the time the Sunday school teachers put in to study, Lord, and just ask that you help them and the pastors, Lord, as they bring forth the challenge in the service, Lord. I just ask that you would give them the words to say. We thank you for the rain you sent our way, Lord, and just pray that you continue to send more, Lord. We ask these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. If anybody's going to Sunday school, they're dismissed at this time. You can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Last week, Mark did a challenge. He talked about a verse we see every time we come to church. It's the verse above us here. Today, I'm going to talk about something else that we probably use every day and take for granted, and it's something simple that I can relate with. It's lights. I venture to say that most of us use a light somewhere throughout the day. We turn on a light. We get up in the morning, we go to the bathroom, we turn a light on, a bedroom light. There's many different kinds of lights. As you know, I'm an electrician, I deal with lights, so that's something I can talk about. In the church building alone here, there's most of the lights we use nowadays are LED lights, but we have what we call A-bulbs, or just a screw-in light bulb. There's spotlights on the pulpit. We have wall packs in the parking lot, floodlights in the parking lot. There's emergency lights throughout the building. There's warning lights for the fire alarm, strobe lights, other lights in different areas. We use traffic lights, high bay lights, appliance lights such as in a refrigerator. Many, many different kinds of lights. These lights, they all have different purposes. Some are for general lighting, some are for warning. Some light the parking lot for security. But these lights all have two things in common. They require two things to make them work. First thing they require is a power source. None of them work without a power source. The second thing that is required is a infrastructure or distribution system. These lights all have power coming in from the power company. Then we have breaker boxes, we have wiring, junction boxes, then the light itself. We call that the distribution system, and that's regulated by the code book, the NEC. I was going to bring one along, and I forgot. It's a nice thick book that we get to do everything by. When we wire stuff up, we have to follow that code, or there's consequences. We can have a power source with no breakers or wires, and nothing will work. Or we can have the prettiest system there is, all the wires, lights, staples, boxes, everything just pretty, and no power source, and it won't work. So you're all saying, that's pretty cool. What's that have to do with church? Well, as Christians, we are to be the light of the world. So what's it take to be a light? Well, the first thing we need is power source. A power source is Jesus Christ. We need to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Power source, I kind of compare it to electricity. We can't see it. We can't see electricity, and we can't see the Holy Spirit living in us. But with electricity, we can see the effects of it. So like when a light's working, we know we have power. The same is true with a Christian. We can see the power of the Holy Spirit. When we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, we will be a light. The second thing as a Christian we need is the infrastructure. The distribution source. We need to be reading the Bible, studying God's word, because that's the code book for the Christian life. We need to find out what God expects from us and how we are supposed to live. We need to learn to get the power to the light. So as Christians, we're to be lights. We need to learn how to get the power from God's word and to be the light. That light, as electrician, if we don't follow that code book, damage can occur. We can get shocked or zapped. We can cause a fire. The same is true with being a Christian. If we don't follow the Bible, destruction can occur and it can be used in a bad way. Now I'm going to kind of get back to the lights a little bit. These emergency lights over here on the wall, they have a little green light on the bottom of them. That's an indicator light indicating that there's power there. So basically that's all that does is indicates power. So as a Christian, after we get saved, we have that indicator light that never goes out, that's lit the same that we are saved. Then we do different tasks as Christians, there's lights that are to those around us. It's simple, like the lights here in the church, we call them task lights, general purpose lights. Church attendance is, it's a light. It's a light to those around us. Being a Sunday school teacher is a light. We clean the church. We set up for VBS. They're all different lights. But, that's a, I'm going to call it a general purpose light. But then there's, the fire alarm I mentioned earlier. That's more of a strobe light. It's a warning light. So that might be, we're witnessing to a coworker, witnessing to a neighbor, witnessing to a family member. We're warning them of their need to get saved. The lot lights outside, just threw some stuff in here that, we might be help others in the ministry, pray for others, encourage others. I mentioned the appliance light and refrigerator. You help others grow. We'll get that later. These lights, when we install lights, there's like parking lot lights, for example, there's different what we call distribution patterns. It's not just a light on a pole. Sometimes you want the light to go far out. Sometimes you want the light to spread. Sometimes you want the light to light, it makes a circle around the pole. It's called different distribution patterns. So as Christians, we need to use the right light and the right distribution pattern. When we're working with a new Christian, we don't want to point out all the things that are wrong in their life with that light. We want to point them in the right direction with a different light. Same with witnessing to someone. You don't necessarily point out the wrong things, but you want the light to go to church and that kind of thing. If I brought a strobe light in here and we used it for general purpose lighting, it would be annoying. It wouldn't serve a purpose. So that's you want to serve a purpose as a Christian. So now we're going to go back over to Matthew 5, verse 14, 15, and 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And if it giveth light unto all that are, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So right there in 16 is the purpose of our light. Shine before men that they may see your good works, and it'll glorify your Father which is in heaven. So that's the purpose of our light and our Christian light. I'll close with closing thoughts here. Do you have the power source in your life? Are you saved? Next, are you building the distribution system, the infrastructure to get the power from power source to the light? And then, is your light shining for the glory of God?
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Mount Zion Baptist Church. Just a couple things I want to go over. For those that are not going on the teen missions trip, we are not going to have teen time on Wednesday night. So Wednesday night, we will be upstairs for the Wednesday night service. So you're not there. I thought it was interesting. Did everybody see Butch back there this morning? Doesn't he look sharp? Has that look? I had to ask if he has a new suit coat on. It looked new to me. And he has that bow tie. He looks like Larry Fainus, I'm sure. Skip here had to say something to him about, you're looking sharp today, brother. I'll tell you what, look at him back giving me that mean look from back there. And I was thinking, you know, it is cool in the church this morning, and I think it feels good in here. Now, some of you think it feels bad and think it's too cold. Some of you think it's too warm. I'm always reminded when I'm sitting back there, Linda Neves always sits in front of me. And when Linda's here, a lot of times she'll be fanning herself during the church service. And it reminds me when I was a Yonker and went to church, we had no air conditioning or anything like that in the first church I was in. And I remember the ladies, they would sit there in the summer, the windows would be open, and they'd have them big fans, remember, with like the popsicle stick on them. I thought they were very interesting. The ones I remember had a picture of Christ on the front and then the funeral home address on the back. Do you remember them? I remember that. And as a kid, that really struck me. Hey, we got Christ on the front. You turn it over, and there's a funeral home address. So it's just some things that I remember about being in church. Well, I want to come down, if you'll just excuse me a minute till I get set up here. I want to come down on the floor, I believe. Maybe we'll be down here some if this thing, I don't know. I'm no musician. Oh, this thing works. Look at that. Oh, my. Modern stuff we have today. And it's amazing what you can do. We'll get to the slides in just a moment. I wanted to open up with just a few little things here. I want to, do you know what the horse said when he tripped? I've fallen and I can't giddy up. You know what's red and bad for your teeth? A brick. You ever hear the lady? The lady said, you know, I child-proofed my home and somehow they got in. How do you make a tissue dance? Put in a little boogie. Oh, I love it. Well, anyway, why did I do that? Because I have nothing to say and have to use up time. No, that's not true. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22. I'll wait there for a moment till you get there. We'll start on the slides here in a little bit. But I wanted to start out this way. You know, it's good to laugh. It's good to have a merry heart. The Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22, a merry heart, the very first part of the verse, doeth good like a medicine. Now this verse tells us two things about life. Number one, we have the problem or the potential of sorrow. But number two, we have the power of joy. And get this statement, if you take notes, this is a good thing to remember. Attitude affects our outlook. And when our attitude is wrong, our outlook is going to be wrong. Now, let's back up just a second and talk about the problem or the potential of sorrow. No one here in this building or on this earth is going to not go through life without sorrow. You are going to face sorrow. Now, some people face sorrow to a greater degree and a greater frequency than others. And I believe that the older we get, the more sorrow we encounter. At least I found that in my life. And in that sorrow, we need to deal with it. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to have times of sorrow. Just because you're a young person doesn't mean you're not going to have times of sorrow. Sorrow will come to the doorstep of every one of us sometime in our lives, sometimes multiple times through our lives, sometimes that lasts a tremendously long time. But we have the power of joy to overcome it. Now, let me explain here just a second. The joy that we have, or the joy that we can have, does not come necessarily just from the corny little jokes I told here this morning. That's more what we would call happiness. And if Pastor Bill were here, he would say that is something that does not. Happiness depends on circumstances or happenstances. But joy is something that remains in us and allows us to go through sorrow and come out on the other end victorious. Now, I don't know. The reason why I started out with just those corny jokes is somebody here just may have needed a smile today. Maybe you had a bad morning. Maybe you had a bad week. Maybe you've had a bad month. Maybe you've had a bad year. I mean, things just pile up. And my point was just to give you just a brief amount of time to smile and to forget them. That does not take the sorrow away. And what I want to do now is show you how you can have that sorrow taken away. And it is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. The greater or the deeper relationship you have with Christ, the more joy you can have in your life. My mother, you did not know she was a theologian, did you? Well, I will tell you what she told me several months ago. We were talking about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And it talks about what's the fruit? The nine fruits, let's begin them. Love. What's the second one? Joy. And here's what she said to me. If you have a lot of love, you can have a lot of joy. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you develop that relationship with Him, you can have a lot of joy in your life. It will not eliminate the sorrow. It will not do that. But it will give you the joy at the end. Illustration I wanted to use. Pastor, use the illustration of the optimist and the pessimist if you were down at BBS last Sunday. I want to use that illustration, and I've heard it with the use of a donut. Think of a glazed donut. An optimist sees the donut. The pessimist sees what? The hole. Right. You know what? Maybe you're here in a hole right now, and you see the sorrow has overcome you. What I want you to be able to do is back up just a little bit. See the donut. See the joy you can have through it, through the sorrow that you're in. Yeah, the hole's still there, isn't it? Oh, we get a good glazed donut, and that hole's still there. But we have the donut, then don't we, on the outside to eat? And that's what I pray. Maybe there's someone here today. You're looking at the hole. I hope by the end of this service, maybe by the end of this day, you see the donut. And the Lord Jesus Christ can restore some joy into your life. Again, it's not that the hole's not there. It's not that sorrows don't grip our hearts. But when we have the joy of the Lord, we're able to go through and see the donut. So at the other side, we see the light of Christ and we're able to share with them. The slides that we have here, I just want to take a moment and thank Annette. She did a great job for me. We got these up, put them on what they call a thumb drive, which I have no idea what a thumb drive is or any of that kind of stuff. I'm not a techie, right, Miss Anna? I'm not a big techie. I'm not a good talker either. I have to always call on people to tell me what I'm trying to say a lot of times. And I always get into trouble with that. But I cannot do this stuff. And I just appreciate her for taking the time. Because and all of you who helped me too, the sound people. I know Brother Dave helped me. And with the clicker, where's the clicker? Yeah, there we go. Watch this. Whoa. Hit the wrong button. You'd have a cat here. We'd have him going crazy up and down the aisleway. Everybody get their attention then. Well, I want to welcome you to Sunday, August the 4th, 2024, day number 217 of the year, with only 149 days left until New Year's. And my question to you is, what have you done with the past 216? They're gone. My goodness, the summer's almost gone. We're already into August. We'll soon be Labor Day weekend, which is the official last weekend of summer. And we'll be done with all of that. And we'll be into the fall and then the winter. Soon Christmas will be here. So you don't have a lot of time to get your Christmas present for me. So get out there and get her done. It might give you some specials now in the summer. And I'm just kidding. But we have... I want to challenge you on what you do with your days. Every one of us for the past 216 days have had 24 hours each day, 7 days each week. What have you done with them? Because whatever you did with them, whether you wasted them, whether you invested them, whether you used them, whether you threw them away, they're gone. They're gone. Let me give you some encouragement. You have an opportunity to change that today. You can change the trajectory of your life today. You have that freedom. You have that opportunity to change and do something for your country, for your church, for your family, for your God. To do something for someone else. Today, all by setting some goals up. We'll look at that in just a little bit, because dreams are only dreams till you write them down. Well, then what are they, Connor? That's right. Woohoo! Goals. We're going to talk about goals here in just a minute here. What do we do, though? I have something else down here, Connor. I need to, Truman. They start with E's up here, and we're going to start with them. Each blank there. What's the first blank, Truman? I know you got in late last night. You're holding your feet up trying to stay awake. What do you have? That's right. Expectation without... Oh, yes, you were trying to hide from me, weren't you, Wade? You were trying to hide. He kept looking at the wall, Brother Kevin. It's like, don't pick on me. Don't call on me. I don't see you. I see you over there, Wade. You remember expectation without what? Effort equals what, Winston? That's right, entitlement. Expectation without effort equals entitlement. What do I mean by entitlement? What are we looking at here? What we're seeing, we're raising up a generation of people that think you're owed something. The church owes you. The nation owes you. Your business owes you. Your work. Your family owes you. Everybody owes me something. When the truth of the matter is, no one owes you anything, including God. And if we want something out of life, we need to be willing to go out and work for it and earn it and not expect someone to give it to us. And I challenge the young people many times, your young people that are in class, about money. And we might get the money today. It's hard to tell how far we'll get here. But money is a big deal. The lack of it's a bigger deal. And I challenge your young people, if they're going into ministry, Okay, take your hands off. You got to go and you got to do what God will give you. You have to take that opportunity. You go. And you go, you get your training, and you go into ministry. Maybe you're going to mission field. Maybe you're going to be a pastor. Maybe you're going to be a Christian school teacher, whatever it might be. If you're going into full-time service, that's a different ballgame. But if you're not going into full-time service, I'm asking you this right now. I ask your young people, why don't you get the best job you can? I understand there is a will of God. I understand there are some jobs you may not want to take. I understand that. For different reasons, and I'm not going into that. But I'm trying to get this point across to your young people, and that's this. There is no spirituality in being poor. And there is no evil in being rich. Do you understand that? Oh, yes, it is. Most rich people were evil. Wait a minute, then. God's the biggest despot in the universe. Because he owns it all. God owns everything. And so if money is wrong, then God is wrong. So I think, you know, would it be out of the question? I'm not telling you to pursue money. Because the love of money, I tell the teens, is the root of all evil. The love of it, not the use of it. If you would allow God to give you the power and the strength and the wisdom to make money and make lots of money, you can use it for him. Right? If you're making millions of dollars, if you create a business and make millions of dollars at that business, which is not unheard of in our nation, look at the tithe you would pay. I'm just making something up. You're making $3 million a year. That's $300,000 that you would tithe just on 10% of that. Hey. That would buy me a nice Christmas present. You could, you know. But you could take, look at what we could do. What would we do? Go to the preacher here. Preacher, I got 300,000. I'm sure, oh, we don't need that. We don't want that. No, he wouldn't say. Why? You can, because look at what we could do. Look at the missionaries you could support. Look at the programs we could do. All because an individual said, Lord, if you can use me to make money, then use my talents to do something for you so that I can do something for the people and for the church and for my family. I tell your teenagers this, the only good money is the good you can do with it. That's all it's good for. That's all it's good for. And if we get this, past this mentality, that as long as I'm poor, I'm spiritual. Now, does God make people poor? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Does God make people rich? Yes, he does. But if you have the potential to do something in that area for him, why not pursue it? If you have the talent, why not pursue it? If you have the courage, why not pursue it? If you have the idea, why not pursue it? Look at these guys out there. The guys like that own Amazon and Facebook and all that kind of stuff. They started, a lot of them just went to college and had an idea. And look at them. They're billionaire. Billion, that's with a B. And I know I spend a lot of time on money. But money's a big deal. Money is a big deal. That's why we have seven people counted. That's why we have three and four people stand up every business meeting and say, yeah, the books are right. Don't tell me money's not a big deal, because money is a big deal. And I don't think that we should not, not that I don't think, we shouldn't worship it. We're not here to worship money. But if God's given you the talent to make it, why not make it and use it for his glory? Just as much as a person using their talents or their building talents or whatever talent God may give you, use it for him. Well, I wanted to go over some things here. I want you to, where are we at here? Where are we at in our slides? Oh, my goodness. I'm already way ahead of myself. I got to ask you some questions because we're here in Sunday school, right? And Sunday school, what do we do in school? If I were to go back to Mrs. Ingalls and I'd say, Mrs. Ingalls, what do we come to school for? We come to learn, correct? We come to learn. I remember there was a school up, an elementary school, up off Mount Rose Avenue, just alongside of Mount Rose Cemetery. Why it was there, I don't know. Very close to the cemetery. And it was a elementary school, and I remember going by it 30 years ago. And it was beginning to be transitioned into a daycare center. I don't know what it is today. But it was a nice brick building. And right over the doors, it said this, and I'll never forget it. Enter to learn. And that's what we're here to do. But we can't learn unless we get awake, and we can't be awake unless we're thinking. So we got to be thinking, and we got to be awake. So I need to ask some questions here. True or false? The largest tomato ever picked was in China. Nephew, tell me what it is. He looked at me like, my goodness, don't ever call me again. What is it? That is incorrect. It was actually picked in Oklahoma in 1986. It was over 7.5 pounds. That's a big tomato. All right. Hey, that's right, Sam. You're from China, right? Yeah, I see that. Ah, you guys can't get everything, number one. You got to give us credit on some stuff here. All right? All right. Well, tomato juice. Now, you may not be able to see this. I'll pick on some. Pastor Dirks, you will know this, I'm sure. Tomato juice is the official state juice of what state they're listed? Do you know? That is incorrect. I put that there just to fool you. I put it there. Look at this. I'm going to use the green bugger. It is the Ohio. Did you know that? Did you know that, Pastor? It is the official juice of Ohio. It was back in 1965. The General Assembly voted to have Ohio or to have the tomato juice as their official drink because of the economy and how the tomato had really helped their economy and helped their somebody. No, I'm not quitting. You can go ahead and ring that all you want. I'm not going to quit. Okay, let's move on here. Let's get to some Bible here. Well, I hope I've given you some Bible. I hope I've challenged you on some things. I hope I've opened your understanding that God wants to do something with your life. It might be financial. It might be spiritual. God wants you to get out of the, oh, I seize the whole. I need to see the donor. Let's move on here a little bit. I want to talk about prayer. Look, you can look up here. You can look up on your phone or look up on your phone. That's coming. That's coming. Right, Pastor? That's coming. You're going to come in, you're going to get up, and you're going to say, hey, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and everybody's going to go like this. That's coming. That is probably coming. But you can look up here on the screen, or you can, yourself, you can look it up in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. In John chapter 15, verse 5, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now, here's the key I want you to get. For without me, ye can do nothing. I want to challenge you very quickly on prayer before we move on to another topic. We've come through in the church two of the biggest ministries of our summer and perhaps of the year. And that is VBS and camp. And we have the tendency to kind of coast now, because those big ministries are over. Our prayer time begins to get shallow because we don't see the importance of prayer because these big ministries are over right now. And I want to challenge you to revamp your prayer life, to get back on top of your prayer life again. And I want us to look at prayer. Look at this. I want you to think about this. The basic concept of prayer is talking with God. Now, I want you to think about this. When we go to Matthew chapter 6, if you see earlier what is known as the model prayer, the disciples' prayer, or the Lord's prayer, he starts it out how? How does he start it? When ye pray, say. Somebody say it. Our Father. Our Father. A relationship. How do you talk to your Father? Shouldn't it be the same way we talk to God? Now, let me back up just a second. I'm not so naive to think every dad was a great dad in everybody's family. Some people had deadbeat dads. It's the truth. They either weren't there, they didn't care, or they ran everything like a Nazi prison camp. You could have two extremes. They don't care, or everything is this way, or it's no way. There's no communication. There's no love. There's no giving. It's all about them, or they're absent totally. I understand that. I understand. People have abusive dads. I understand that. But God's not like that. If that happened to you, I want you to know that God's not like that. He's not like that at all. He wants the best for you, even when he has to bring hard things into your life to make you grow. He said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Yes, there is a respect for God that we need to have. There is a reverence for him that we need to have. I understand that. We're mortals. He's God. But listen, he's your Father. He's your Father. Talk to him like you talk to your dad. Talk to him like you talk to him if he was here. Some of you have lost your dad. Do you know if you've lost your dad, he's your dad twice. If you know Christ is your personal Savior, then he's your heavenly Father. But if your dad is gone, he also takes the place of your earthly father. You know that? A judge, a father to the fatherless. Do you know that means no matter what age you are, he is still your dad? That's fantastic. When he said, I believe Jesus said in either John or John 15, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. Do you know, I've used this, I've said this before. Do you know what that word comfortless means? It means orphaned. I'm not going to leave you like an orphan. I'm not going to leave you with no one. I'm going to come to you. Why do we think then we have to go through these big rituals to talk to him? He's your dad. Go to him like your dad. Talk to him like you talk to your dad. Yes, there is a reverence there. Yes, there is a respect there. Just like you would give your earthly father, at least you should, to the best of your ability. But he's your dad. Ask him for stuff. Hey, man, I hate this. Can you take this away? Can you help me? Some need, like you need rain. Some places are really parched. You say, I tell him sometimes, my dad on this earth can never make it rain. But you can. You can. Talk to him. Talk to him. Go to him like your dad and ask him for stuff. We forget that about him. Secondly, not only is the concept of prayer talking with God, but the basic reality of prayer is acknowledging our dependence on him. Do you realize then the opposite is also true? If I pray, I'm acknowledging my dependence. If I don't pray, I don't need him. And what did he say in John chapter 15 and verse 5? Without me, ye can do nothing. If you understand the context, in Matthew chapter 6, many feel where he says, give us this day our daily bread. By the way, that is the first request, and the first word is give. Because what we have, we get from God, And what we don't have, we don't get from him. How many of you have pets at home? You have a cat or a dog or maybe you have a pet rat. You have any pet rats at home, Brother Tony? No pet rats? Okay, that's a good thing. I hate rats. And you have, I really hate rats, right, Caprice? And, excuse me. If we get there, we'll get to that. But what they have is what you give them. You understand that? If you give them water, they get water. If you don't give them water, they don't get water. If you give them food, they get food. If you don't give them food, they don't get food. If you give to them attention, they get attention. If you don't give it to them, they don't get attention, right? And, of course, cats, now, they're a little different. You know, they always say, you know, a pig, they look at you as their equal. And a dog, he looks up to you. But a cat, they always look down on you all the time. They do. And they do. That's the way they are. But the point is what we don't give them, they don't get. And many times, how do they get your attention that they want something? They come, they bark, they nudge you, they rat you. They do something to get your attention, to give me something. We need to do that with God. Give, and it shall be given unto you. It is attention. Dad, I need this. I think it's irreverent to think of him that way. And I know I'm regressing here a moment. And Christ called him Abba. Abba's daddy. It's, daddy, I need some help. Don't ever forget that. See, when we're looking at the hole, not the donut, we need to remember in prayer that my father says, my dad says to me, ask, and I'll give it. And he tells me, give. Christ tells us to ask him to give to us. But when we acknowledge our dependence on God, and back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11, many people feel that Christ was talking in Bible times about the way they earned wages. And they would earn enough wages for a day to get enough food to eat for the next day. And maybe a little bit left over. If that is true, do you realize now how important daily bread was to the worker? I miss a couple days of work, and what happens? I'm in the financial hole in a hurry. In America, we don't think that way. Most of us, if not all of us, could go home and open the refrigerator and we have a dozen different choices to make to eat. We could go to the freezer and we'd get a dozen more different things out that we could make to eat today. We'd go to the pantry or whatever. We can get a box of cereal, a little bit of milk. We have something to eat. We have enough food in our houses. Most of us have enough food in our houses. We could probably not buy anything for a month or more and you would never miss it. You'd have to eat stuff you didn't like, but no, that's the way it goes. Have to eat the broccoli and things like that, right? Right, John? But anyway, so the importance here is why would then this verse be given to us? Are we in the 21st century? Is this the 21st century? You're a policeman, right? So a policeman is all. So, we are supposed to be smart. And we're in the 21st century. How does this apply to a 21st century person in America? The fact that God puts us sometimes in a place where we need to ask him for things all the time. You see, I would be like you and you would be like me. If I could go on January 1st and I could make all these requests to my Father and this great big box would drop down out of heaven and I could go open that box and get out the day's needs I have. Thank you. I'll see you next year. Wouldn't we do that? But when we're put into a place where we need to depend on him every day, and that dependence, we can broaden this application. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's strength. Maybe it is financial because of your position that you're in. When we have that, when we're put into that place, now we learn to depend on him. My dependence is what? Give us this day. Because that's what he wants. That's what Dad wants. That's what Abba wants. He wants us to go to him every day. And so sometimes what does he do? He allows problems to bring us to a point where we start to realize, I need you. I kind of forgot that the past couple weeks, but you reminded me, I need you. Give me. I'm thinking about three ministries that are coming up, that they're the Red Line Street Fair. The other is Youth Development Center. And the other I think of is the rescue mission down Baltimore. And if we're not praying, we need to pray that God will do something great in these ministries. The Red Line Street Fair is coming up this coming Saturday. And the Youth Development Center has already done this. Well, we'll go this month. We've done Tuesday, so Tuesday. And then you have the rescue mission is every fifth Saturday of the year. And there are other ministries out there as well. I'm not discounting those ministries. They are just ones that come to my mind. If we neglect to ask God to give us souls, give us inroads, give us opportunities, give us protection, not discounting the youth that are going on the missions trip to Butte, Montana, leaving on Tuesday. If we neglect to pray and ask for help, ask for guidance, ask for souls, we're telling God, we don't need you. And when we say that, we find out that we do nothing. Because without him, I can do nothing. Well, we can have a lot of machinery. We can put out pretty flyers, and we can run around, and we can hand stuff out in doors. I'm not saying that's wrong. And we can practice what we're going to say, and we can study, and we can prepare, and we can go, and we can do all this. But without God, we'll accomplish nothing. We've got to have him. Don't forget our prayer. Well, I'm out of time and never even got to. I got 8 slides up there. I never even got hard. I'm sorry. We'll use them sometime. Hey, maybe you're here today and you're looking at the middle of a donut. That's the way my life feels right now. I feel like the middle of a donut. Let's build your relationship with Jesus. Get the love of Jesus in your heart. Like my mother said, the love, you have a lot of love, you can have a lot of joy. Get that love of Christ and get back and look at the donut. Don't think you're alone just because you're filled with sorrow. I'm a Christian, but I shouldn't act like this. That's baloney. You're a person. You're a human being. And we all face sorrow. Hey, maybe you need just some encouragement on prayer. Let's not stop. Let's do something at Butte. Let's do something at Butte this week. Let's do something at the Red Line Street Fair this Saturday. Let's do something down at the mission that coming up in the fifth Sunday month and up the Youth Development Center and all the other ministries that we have going on. Let's get to God. Let's go to him. Dad, I need you. Dad, we need your help. Dad, we need your provision. Dad, we need your strength. Dad, we need you. We need you. We need you. I need you. I need you in my family. I need you at my job. I need you in protection. I need you for everything. I need you. Let's go to him. Let's ask him. Every widow here, man, don't ever mess with a widow. Because God, not only if the widow's lost her dad, he's her dad. The widow's lost her husband, he's your husband. And he's her judge. He says, if they call all unto me, this is in the Greek, if they call it all unto me, if you mess with them and you call it all unto me, I'll come down on you like a ton of bricks. That's what he means. That's in the Greek. It's not, but I just made that up. But that's our foundation of prayer. He's my dad. He might be your husband. He's your judge. He takes care. Let's get to God in prayer. All right, Lord, bless you. My time's up.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.